Welcome to the How To Dressage podcast, and in this episode, we're going to look at how and why to bend your horse correctly. So how many times have you had the remark, could have more bend, on your dressage test sheet? A lack of supple bend is a very common fault that judges will mark down, because bending is crucial to your horse's progression in the dressage scales of training. Now, without the ability to bend your horse correctly, you will also not be able to ride accurate circles, turns, or corners, or position your horse for lateral movements. So in this podcast episode, we're going to look at why you need to bend your horse, what defines a correct bend, the impact of pole flexion on your horse's ability to bend, how your horse creates the illusion of bending, and the aids that you need to apply to bend your horse correctly. So first up, let's discuss, why do you need to bend your horse? Well, if you try to negotiate a circle or a corner without bending your horse, then your horse's body will remain straight, and that means that he will need to lean inwards in order to make the turn. Now, leaning around circles, corners, and turns presents several problems. Firstly, your horse will overly stress his joints and ligaments on the inside, which can cause strain and/or injury. Also, remember that when your horse is being ridden, your horse is also carrying the added weight of his tack and you. Now, if your horse leans, your horse will also be unable to engage his hind legs underneath him, and he'll therefore be on his forehand. This means that true collection will not be possible, again, because your horse cannot engage his hind legs. Leaning will also mean that your horse will find smaller circles and tighter turns very difficult, and he will be unable to work through into the contact. Your horse will also be unable to perform and be positioned for lateral movements, such as shoulder in, traverse, and half pass. And also, if he's not bending correctly, then more than likely, the tempo, which is the speed of the rhythm, will be rushed and inconsistent. Leaning also makes the dressage arena feel much smaller and more difficult to negotiate. And in extreme cases, especially if you are riding on a slippery or uneven surface, your horse can also fall over onto his side. Now, this isn't just a problem for the discipline of dressage. If you go show jumping, being unable to bend your horse will make him unbalanced around the turns. He will most likely fall inwards through the corners of the arena, leaving you with less space to prepare for the next fence and less chance for your horse to see it. And this can result in a pole down, a stop, or a run out. Basically, the big point here is that you do not want your horse to lean in around corners. Instead, you want your horse to stay upright. And for your horse to stay upright, he must be bending correctly. Okay, so now that we know how important this is, let's move on to talk about bending and pole flexion. So first up, what is correct bend? Well, if you are bending your horse correctly, this will mean that his longitudinal axis will be in line with the curved line that you are negotiating. So if you viewed your horse from above, his spine would align with the curved track. Now, your horse's bending ability is also referred to as your horse's lateral suppleness. So basically his side-to-side dexterity. Okay, so now let's talk about pole flexion. So pole flexion refers to the angle of your horse's head from his pole. Now, there are two types of pole flexion. There is lateral pole flexion. This is basically the movement of your horse's poll from side to side. So if your trainer asks you for a little bit of inside flexion, that is lateral pole flexion. Now, the second type of pole flexion is longitudinal pole flexion. And this is the movement of your horse's poll up and down. So, for example, if your horse is coming onto the vertical or is sticking his nose out or is coming behind the vertical. Now, this basically means that you can ask your horse to move in a straight line without any bend in his body, but you can still ask him for lateral and or longitudinal flexion at the poll. Now, even more interesting is that the longitudinal flexion that you ask for at your horse's poll impacts your horse's ability to laterally flex at his poll and to bend through his body. So, for example, if your horse's head is extended up with no longitudinal flexion at the poll, and he is looking at the stars, also referred to as being above the bit, then you will not be able to laterally flex your horse at the poll. So if your horse's head is in this position and your trainer asks you for a little bit of inside flexion, your horse won't be able to do it. And also in this position, the amount of bend that your horse is able to produce through his body will also be reduced. Okay, so now let's look at this on the other end of the scale. So if your horse's head is overflexed, so he's got too much longitudinal flexion at the poll, so this would mean that your horse is behind the vertical with his chin tucked into his chest, then again, in this position, he will not be able to laterally flex at his poll. Instead, if your trainer asks you to laterally flex your horse and your horse is behind the vertical, because he can't deliver on that request, your horse will instead twist and tilt his head. And also, whilst your horse is in this overflexed position, the amount of bend your horse will be able to produce through his body again will be reduced. Therefore, for you to be able to bend your horse correctly through his body, it's essential that the angle of his poll isn't overflexed. So it's not behind the vertical and it isn't overextended. So your horse isn't stargazing. You want that angle to be in the mid range, which means that your horse should be carrying his nose a little bit out and in front of the vertical. Now that's a little bit difficult to explain on a podcast. So if you want to see an image depicting this, then just go to our website, howtodressage.com, and search for the article, How to Bend Your Horse Correctly. Scroll down a little bit and we've got a nice image that shows the horse in these three positions. So we've got the horse overextended, we've got the horse behind the vertical, and we've got the horse in the optimum position where he will be able to produce the optimum body bend and produce lateral flexion. But moving on to the next part of this podcast, we're now going to talk about how can you tell if your horse is not bending correctly? Well, if your horse is not bending uniformly and correctly, then one or more of the following things will happen when you try to ride a circle or a turn. So your horse may fall in or out through his shoulder. Your horse may swing his quarters out. Your horse's hind feet may cross over rather than staying on one track, and of course your horse may lean inwards. So if your horse is displaying any of those issues, then this means that he is not bending correctly. So the next question that you need to ask yourself is why? Well, a horse that is not bending correctly, providing that there are no physical issues for it, it's usually down to one of two reasons. So the first reason is that you are not aiding your horse correctly. Now, if you are unsure of how to aid your horse, please stick around in this podcast episode because we're going to talk about the aids later on. But the second reason is that your horse does not yet have the required lateral suppleness in his body for the degree of bend that you require. So you're basically asking your horse to bend around a circle, turn or corner that he isn't physically able to produce yet. Now, if your horse lacks lateral suppleness, there are a few telltale signs. And this will be things such as your horse will become tense and resistant when riding circles or performing lateral movements. Your horse may find an exercise easy on one rein, but then difficult on the other rein. Your horse will be unable to maintain the positioning for lateral movements, and he will also be unable to sufficiently cross his legs during lateral movements. So if you have those issues, then you need to work on improving your horse's lateral suppleness. Now, basically, any exercise that requires your horse to bend will help to improve his lateral suppleness. And that includes circles, corners, turns, and all lateral movements, providing that you aid and bend your horse correctly, which, as we mentioned, we're going to talk about later on in this episode. Now, that being said, remember that the smaller the circle diameter, the more difficult it is for your horse, because a smaller circle requires a greater amount of bend and therefore a greater amount of lateral suppleness. Now, 20 meter circles can be ridden on novice horses at the beginning of their careers, but smaller circles, such as 6 meter circles, should only be ridden on advanced horses that have high levels of balance, engagement, suppleness, and collection. Now, during your schooling sessions, you should always start by working on large circles until your horse's muscles warm up and loosen, and then you can start to progress to smaller circles and tighter turns. Now, if you struggle to maintain circle accuracy, or you experience any of the faults that we've covered in this podcast episode, and you are aiding your horse correctly, then the circle is probably too small for your horse's current capabilities. So in these instances, what you need to do is you need to make the circle larger until your horse's suppleness and balance improves. Now, a large circle ridden accurately with the correct bend will deliver more benefits to your training than a smaller circle that is ridden poorly and that is too difficult for your horse. All you're going to create is tension, tightness, and stiffness. Now, lastly, remember to ride your horse equally on both reins. Although it may be tempting to focus on your horse's stiffest side, thinking, well, that's his worst side, so we're going to do more work on it, doing that can actually present more problems because that side is already more difficult for your horse, and doing too much on that side will just make your horse's muscles and joints stiff and sore because you're doing too much. Now, in contrast, if you stick to working just on the easy side, then the stiffer side will never improve. So just remember to ride your horse equally on both reins. Remember that the stiffer side is already more difficult for your horse, so don't overdo it and don't focus on it too much. But working your horse equally, the stiffer side will eventually catch up. Okay, so now that we know more about bending, pole flexion, and lateral suppleness, now let's talk about the illusion of bending. Because when we talk about bend, we often describe the desired result as your horse bending uniformly through his body and his spine being uniformly curved to align to the arc of a circle or a turn. Now, although this is a great way to visualize the concept of bending, it's not actually possible because your horse's spine is not uniformly flexible. So to help explain this, we're going to break the horse's body down into three parts, and we're going to explain how each of those parts move to create the illusion of bend. So the first part we're going to talk about is the cervical spine. This is basically your horse's neck. Now, this part of your horse is incredibly flexible, and you can easily turn your horse's head to the left or the right. And it can be positioned to conform the arc of any circle or any turn. For example, if you are riding a 10 meter circle, you shouldn't have any trouble positioning your horse's neck to match the arc of the circle. However, what we sometimes do is we sometimes bend the neck too far than the rest of the body, simply because it's very easy to turn our horses' necks. But what this can do is it can actually create an even bend. But basically, that's the neck in a nutshell. It's very flexible and very easy to bend. Now, if we look at the second part, which is the thoracic vertebrae, which is basically like the saddle area. So it runs from your horse's withers to basically the back of the saddle. Now, this part of your horse's spine isn't very flexible. However, you can create the illusion of bending by stimulating the intercostal muscles between your horse's ribs. So by using your inside leg, you can encourage your horse to bring the ribs on the inside of his body closer together and to spread the ribs on the outside of his body further apart. And also the barrel of your horse's rib cage will also swing to the outside, therefore creating a bend. And this is why your inside leg is crucial when it comes to your bending aids, which again we're going to talk about in a moment. But now moving on to the last part of your horse's body that we're going to talk about, part three, and this is the lumbar region and the pelvis, which are basically the area behind the saddle, your horse's bottom. Now again, this part of your horse is not very flexible when bending. So to create the illusion of bend, your horse's hind legs play a crucial role. So the inside hind leg has to step further underneath and carry more weight, while the outside hind leg has to reach further and push harder. Now, these movements of the hind legs also impact your horse's ribs and the bending of his spine further up his body. And then when all of these three elements work together, so your horse's bending neck, the movement of your horse's rib cage, and the movement of your horse's hind legs, it appears as though your horse is bending uniformly from nose to tail, even though in reality, it's not physically possible for your horse's spine to bend in such a way. Okay, so now that we know how our horses actually go about creating bend in their bodies, now let's talk about how you go about asking your horse to bend. So we're going to go through the aids that you need to apply. Now first up, let's talk about your inside leg. So this should be at the girth. So your inside leg asks your horse to bend through his body. It stimulates his intercostal muscles and it encourages your horse to shorten on the inside of his body and stretch on the outside of his body. Your inside leg also creates forward impulsion, encouraging your horse's inside hind leg to step further underneath his center of gravity. So from this, you can see how your inside leg is playing a key role in getting your horse to create that illusion of bend. But now let's talk about your outside leg. So your outside leg goes behind the girth and guards your horse's hind quarters. It prevents them from drifting outwards and it keeps them on the curved line that you are following. Now also, by moving your outside leg behind the girth, it also allows your horse's ribs to expand on the outside, thereby working alongside your inside leg. Okay, so that's your legs covered. Now let's talk about your reins. So your inside rein. The job of your inside rein is to ask for a small amount of inside lateral flexion to indicate the direction of bend and to help you position your horse's neck on the curved line. That's all your inside rein does. Your inside rein should not be used to turn your horse. You do not drag your horse around the circle. If you just pull on your inside rein, as we talked about earlier, your horse's neck is very flexible. Therefore, if you just pull on that inside rein, your horse's neck will bend too much to the inside, and this will cause your horse to fall out through his outside shoulder. So your inside rein isn't used to turn your horse. The only job of your inside rein is to ask for a small amount of inside lateral flexion. Now, more importantly, let's talk about your outside rein. So this rein helps to prevent too much neck bend. So if you ask for a little bit of inside flexion with the inside rein, to prevent your horse from giving you too much, that's where your outside rein comes in. And this then helps you to control your horse's outside shoulder and prevent him from falling out. Now, your outside rein can also be used to control your horse's tempo, which is the speed of the rhythm. And you can also give your horse balancing half halts down the outside rein whilst you are riding circles, turns, and corners. Okay, so that was your legs and your reins. Now let's talk about the rest of your body. So your head should be up and you should be looking ahead and around the circle, turn, or corner that you are negotiating. Basically, you should be looking in the direction where you want your horse to go. Now, when it comes to your weight, you should have a little bit more weight in your inside seat bone and in your inside stirrup, but you should still remain sat up straight, so you're not leaning inwards. Now, the purpose of this small weight shift is that it frees the outside of your horse's body, so it allows him to expand the outside of his body, and it encourages his inside hind leg to step under your weight, so where you are sitting. Now, your shoulders should match the angle of your horse's shoulders, and your shoulders should be turned from your waist to the inside. And finally, your hips should match the angle of your horse's hips. Now, this should happen automatically as you position your legs correctly. So if you put your inside leg on the girth and move your outside leg behind the girth, then your hips should automatically match the angle of your horse's hips. So that covers the aids that you need to apply to bend your horse correctly. But to wrap this episode up, being able to bend your horse correctly around circles, through corners, and when negotiating turns will not only get you good marks in a dressage test, but it is crucial for your horse's progression. Firstly, you need to understand how your horse creates bend through his body. So we've talked about that in the illusion of bending. And you need to understand how to apply your aids correctly. And then secondly, you should ask your horse to bend equally and uniformly in both directions during every training session, on circles and turns that are within his capabilities. Now, over time, your horse will become more laterally supple, meaning that he will be able to produce more bend through his body, which will enable you to ride smaller circles and tighter turns. Now, if you have any questions when it comes to this podcast episode, or if you have any other hints and tips that you would like to share with us, then please do so in the comments box at the bottom of the relevant blog post on our website. And to make sure that you don't miss out on any of our other free stuff, our books, our training diaries and competitions, then please don't forget to like and follow us on our other social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and Pinterest. We truly appreciate you for taking the time to listen to our podcast, and we hope that you got a lot from it. For more, don't forget to check out our articles and other free stuff, which is available on our website, howtodressage.com, and pop by Amazon for our range of dressage books, planners, and diaries to help you stay on track with your competitions and training. Bye for now.